Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, joined by my father, Emerson Egerich. We are nearing the holiday season. By the time this is released, most of you will be probably right in the middle of planning for Thanksgiving in a few days, and Christmas season is upon us. And so in the spirit of that, and obviously being always constantly reminded of the reason for the season and Christ's birth and all that we should rejoice and remember with that. It's also the time when we buy, gifts for others and exchange gifts. And so as you think about the holiday season and what you might give to others, we again ask that you consider, a Love and Respect product, whether it's the new mugs that we came out with, a gift set of the Love and Respect book and workbook, the DVDs, or an online streaming version of that. So keep that in mind. You'll be seeing discounts around certain things come out in the coming weeks that will be announced on social media and the website, and we may even mention a few here on the podcast. But also just wanted to quickly mention, we had a huge spike and uptick in the podcast listenership and downloads over the last 3 weeks. I mean, like 60% leap, and we can't quite figure out why, but for those of you possibly joining us for the first time and listening to these podcasts, welcome to it. Well, we are deeply grateful. We appreciate those of you that have been faithful since the beginning and sharing the message with others. Again, we couldn't do it without you. But in all things the podcast, you can go to loveandrespectpodcast.com. You can go to loveandrespect.com. You can subscribe via iTunes. And as almost 30,000 of you now have done, you can download our app for Windows devices, Android devices, and Apple devices. And you can access the blog, the podcast, our free content, even access our store and things like that in there as well. So lots of options to access the content. But again, thank you for those of you listening. We just got another email the other day of a woman who started listening to the podcast, and she was doing it sporadically, and then she just went back to the beginning and said over the course of a few weeks, she listened to 57 episodes in a row from 1 to 57, and we hear stories of that all the time. So we hope we're creating archival data, or not archival data, but archival episodes that are not, time sensitive. You can go back to them at any time, or you can share, episode 13 with somebody and they can go through, a topical, type experience on parenting or on marriage or on business. And so we're excited to continue moving forward. And again, thank you for sharing the message with others and the feedback that you give us. As always, you can leave a review on iTunes. Helps the show tremendously as we continue to try to maintain a top 100 ranking in the religion and spirituality category on iTunes. I think we're around 225 reviews now, and we'll always continue to ask for that because many of you leave deep thoughts on that, and it impacts others who come to the show for the first time. So thank you. Today's episode, episode 123, is a part two of a series we started last time called Parenting Chronic Anger or Chronic Appeasement. And my dad's going to mention here in a second a third component. And you'll be able to, as often is the case, there'll be a written version that's similar, always more content in the podcast than in the blog version. But I'm excited to kind of wrap this topic up, today, Dad, and hear your thoughts on this. So I'll turn it over to you now. And as a listener, please enjoy.
No, thank you. We're looking at parenting, and we know that as parents, we just simply don't like it when our children disregard us. I couldn't stand it when Jonathan, my son here, disregarded me. Mm-hmm. And we talk about a lot of the episodes in the Love and Respect in the Family book, and excited too about the Mother and Son book. And parents do not like to be disrespected. School teachers do not like to be disrespected. We want children to learn how to talk with an attitude of honor and to respond to our instructions. And we don't usually say, the children don't love us. We are upset with the fact that they're not respecting us. And that's how it usually is played out. And we looked last time at our default mechanism sometimes as parents, though, is that in order to get respect, there can be an angry response. I'll teach them to respect me. Or some of us are appeasing. We will buy them off, spoil them to try to make them happy and make peace, and hopefully they'll see us in a respectful light. And there's really a third one, and that is apathy. And you see this particularly in the blended family. And we didn't get to that third one. And all of these are going to happen at one level or another in normal families. So we put the word chronic in front of it, chronic anger, just always angry at our kids to get them to respect us, chronic appeasement. We're always thinking of ways to buy them off. We don't think of it that way, but we're spoiling them. And we looked at that last time. And the chronic apathy, an application there is a blended family where the, you see this story commonly where the stepfather is finally just disengaged because the mother of the three children is upset with his discipline, or however he comes across. He's too harsh, he's too angry. That's typically what the assessment is. And the kids are showing him disrespect because they know how to divide and conquer, and they are manipulating the situation. So finally he throws his arms up and says, forget it, and just disengages and goes and watches Netflix or Sports Center. And so there becomes a chronic anger and, a chronic apathy. And there is this feeling that maybe if I keep my distance, this family unit will start respecting me. They can't control me. And so these are the propensities, I think, in the human heart in terms of how we try to generate respect in the family. And of course, I think we're all smart enough in an objective sense as we listen to say, ain't going to work, not going to work long term, just isn't going to happen. So, Jonathan, that's kind of the overview, and now we want to look at, what do we do if I, kind of border a little bit on chronic anger, or, got to raise my hand to confess chronic appeasement. And school teachers tell me their mothers, single mothers in particular, go between hostility and appeasement, hostility and appeasement, hostility and appeasement, teeter-totter, back and forth. And it's just creating tremendous insecurity because, they blow up and then they feel guilty and then they try to do something nice for the kid. And so that is a huge concern to many. And then, of course, we just address the apathy. But any thoughts before we look at the solutions or, at least some suggestions?
Well, no, even as you and I were talking offline before the show, as I'm a parent of a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old, and just the difficulty that we all face as parents. I mean, even as you continue to face those difficulties, as I'm a grown man physically, but act like a child, often. But this idea of, this chronic anger, chronic appeasement, and we go back and forth between them. And, I think in the Christian, language, right? I mean, how do we balance this idea of quote unquote sin and grace, right? I mean, there's got to be consequences that we're supposed to enact for our children when they are a certain way, but we also want to be, gracious. And I find myself constantly in this tension of how do I come down on them where there needs to be instruction, where there needs to be discipline, but then finding in my own heart of, I want to be liked, right? And I don't want them to,
close off.
Yeah, close off to me. And so it is not easy, right? And as you often have, said, right? I mean, parenting is for adults only, right? Mm-hmm. And probably I lean towards what you said. I mean, I got to really resist that. Oh, boy, how do I not check out, right? I mean, because you're like, well, maybe there's a kind of a gray area in between where they, I'm not too involved. I'm not, overly or underly involved, right? And you're just trying to figure out emotionally, relationally, where that balance is. And I certainly don't want to fall into any of these extremes, but I think as you pointed out, and removing the word chronic, we all do some of this, some of the time. Right. But even in those instances, we got to be aware of, okay, how can I make an adjustment? I mean, even as you talk to somebody who's dealing with this chronically, you're also speaking to those of us who we still need to not attempt to go too far to the extreme, even if that's, once a week or once a month, right? We need to protect against that. So I think it applies in both cases. But yeah, just I want the listener to know, right? I mean, I'm right in the midst of this with a 6-year-old and 2-year-old, and it'll be a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old, and then, right? I mean, all these ages and stages.
Well, and I think as you were talking, there is a place for anger or righteous indignation. Kids ought to see that we're upset about certain things. There are certain things that we believe, value. You don't steal, you don't lie, cheat, and you've done it consistently. We're going to get angry and ought to. Jesus overturned the tables. Righteous indignation is not necessarily unchristlike. And so we have to just listen to our conscience. Is this righteous indignation, or am I just peeved at the kids for inconveniencing me during the middle of my Netflix film? Appeasement, to your point, there is a place for grace that we and gift giving and being gracious. And so there is a huge component here that's very, very important. That's not a bad thing to give gifts. Our Heavenly Father gives us gifts. James talks about every good gift comes down from our Heavenly Father. And then in terms of apathy, sometimes we ought not to care about certain things. Some of us are wired way too tight and we're reacting and we just need to chill out. You know what? It's no big deal. This is not a battle over which you want to fight, and you ought to be indifferent to it. You know, there are people out there that are phlegmatic or mature and they just, you know, it's no big deal. And some of us, you know, but we're trying to move into apathy because it's just riling us so much that we're going to disengage. And so we have to try to figure this out, decode what's going on in our soul as parents. But that's why Hebrews 12:10 says that our earthly parents, earthly fathers discipline us as seemed best, seemed best. And we've addressed this in other podcasts. There's a subjective element here. And God intends for parents, for adults, to try to figure out, hey, how am I to deal with this? Because each child is different. We react to them differently. And I've got to do what seems best. There's no formula that says, today, here's the formula you plug in, and your children are going to respond perfectly. They won't. So the call for us is to make sure that we are controlling our actions and reactions to our kids, even if today I can't control the outcome in my child. Mm-hmm. But Jonathan, read about chronic anger with threats.
Chronic anger with threats does not display love and respect toward the spirit of the child, and thus does not result in being honored, not from the heart of the child.
And let me jump in right now. We're going to look at the fact that children are to honor father and mother, Exodus 20:12. But I'm now taking the point today that we must, instead of this chronic anger, chronic appeasement, chronic apathy, that we've got to be more aggressive in being loving and respectful toward the spirit of the child. And so now we're going to look at chronic anger with threats, and we've got to make a commitment that even though I'm upset, I'm going to communicate toward the spirit of the child in a loving and respectful way, and that demands self-control on my end of things. Go ahead.
We must learn to communicate our upset in a way that sounds loving and respectful to our child. Yes, love and respect can be tough, but our words can be firm without being mean or demeaning. The single mother who intended to use a barrage of anger to motivate her son to bring up his math grade took a different tact.
And you remember that our last episode, we addressed that woman. Mm-hmm. Continue then, please. Thank you.
During the hour drive in which I processed your words about respect talk, I was able to completely change my approach. When I got home, I told my son that I respect his intelligence and ability in math. I was able to use respect talk to instruct, discipline, and encourage him. He respectfully responded that he would take care of the problem. No yelling, no tears, no regret. He turned in both assignments the next day, and the grade became a 95%. I shared how proud I was of him for taking care of this and being a man of honor.
And on that point, she talked about the barrage of anger that she intended to show to her son. And she read the mother-son book, which talked about the respect effect of showing respect toward your boys, particularly the boy as he gets a bit older. And she made that decision. It was not easy. But lo and behold, she said, it was like a miracle. But I love that line. It was powerful. No yelling, no tears, no regret. And those of you out there who are using anger to try to get your children to do what you expect them to do so you'll feel respected and they'll perform well and achieve the standards, you know, you cannot use unholy means to achieve worthy ends. And she made a decision to be the adult and respectfully address the issue and ask for a solution. And he matter-of-factly said, I'll take care of it.
But that same three phrases there, no yelling, no tears, right?
Mm-hmm.
No regret. Could in fact be true if he had not responded to what she requested, correct? Meaning we're also talking about something that we do, we honor in ourselves when I don't yell, right? I'm not getting demonstrative, right? And I'm not having regrets about the way that I interacted with them, even though there's no guarantee of the outcome necessarily, right? I mean, he could have been disrespectful. He could have rebelled, right? But she still can look back. I think I handled it the way I was supposed to handle it. Doesn't mean she handled it exactly the next time because she's got to take corrective action. But I think those things can apply even when a child doesn't respond in that moment in the way we're hoping. Is that?
Absolutely. The first and foremost goal is I've got to control my actions and reactions as a parent, knowing full well that I cannot ultimately coerce my children's internal, you know, feelings. They have to make that decision within themselves. But to your point, what we want to do as an adult, even if the child, and they're not always going to obey us, that we've got defiant kids. I went to military school for 5 years, 8th grade to 12th grade. I talk about the fact that kids are moral spiritual beings are going to rebel. But we don't want to conduct ourselves in such a way that we end up yelling, then we start crying, and we have a lot of regret, to your point, that we want to be the adults here who move forward with firm love, firm respect. So first and foremost, I don't go off by myself and feel horrible as an individual because I violated the very thing that I'm supposedly trying to teach my child to mature in. It's the epitome of hypocrisy, and that's what kills us as parents because we feel so ashamed. And then we come up with justifications as to why we did what we did, and we end up placing blame on them. And over a period of time, the child is just going to close off to us. But if you'd continue.
Though it is easier to use anger to let our child know how upset we are and easier to believe our anger will bring about the necessary change, we know long-term such chronic anger with threats won't motivate the son and will eventually close him off to his mom. In this instance, her respect talk worked perfectly. No yelling, no tears, no regret. Mm-hmm.
We talked about that father who used a lot of anger in the family, and he kind of had an epiphany and changed, and the family unit remembers almost to the day when he changed. Do you want to read a little bit about him?
The father who used chronic anger awakened to the damage he was inflicting on his kids. He realized that his appearance of hostility and contempt, lack of love and respect toward their deepest hearts, wasn't working, and in fact was closing off their spirits to him. He needed to be firm without exploding in anger. This was less about controlling them and more about controlling himself. This was less about disciplining them and more about him disciplining himself.
Mm-hmm. Ouch. And I remember with you kids, I had to come to a point where I realized, you know, we named you Jonathan and David, but David said when he was like 6, you should have named us Cain and Abel because you guys were fighting with each other. And I realized I had to work on my own internal locus of control to deal with these feelings I was having in response to the two of you seemingly neglecting me. And I realized, you know what, God was using you kids in my life in many ways more than what he intended to use me in your lives. And each of us as parents has to realize that. It isn't just a one-way street. Hmm. What about chronic appeasement?
Chronic appeasement with threats does not...
treats. Playing around with words.
Chronic appeasement with treats does not display love and respect toward the spirit of the child and thus does not result in being honored, not from the heart of the child. As for the daughter declaring she has no fork, when such a child needs a fork and demands that someone get them the fork, this is where many parents have said, I will not get angry, but neither will I appease this child. The child is fully capable of getting her own fork from the drawer and furthermore is fully capable of helping set the table in the first place. This will take me more time to coach my daughter and there will be resistance, but this is a top priority.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, we've made this reference. We cannot parent in our spare time. And I just say, if you're in this phase with your kids, this is top priority. You got to turn off Netflix. You got to turn off the news. You've got to make this a priority. And it isn't easy. It's not enjoyable. And parenting, as Hebrews talks about, produces sorrow. It's not always joyful. He's very clear. And if we want everybody to be happy and give in all the time on the appeasement issue, yeah, you're gonna achieve peace. But at what price? You're not serving your daughter well in this instance. And so that whole mature perspective, I got to do a little bit more in the short haul to prevent a whole lot of headaches down the road.
Of course, such a daughter is more than likely to complain, well, I shouldn't have to go get the fork. That's your job. At that point, the parent must make a decision. I recommend saying, honey, you can either get the fork or go to your room without dinner. Your reply to us is unacceptable. Furthermore, because of this reply, for the next 3 evenings, you will set the table for us. Your father and I have discussed this, and your demanding attitude will stop. You are old enough and mature enough to be a team player with us. We need your help. We are not here to do everything for you. that would not respect your maturity. So it's your choice. Which way are you going with this? Are you getting the fork or going to your room?
And if you'd continue to read.
You need not show hostility and contempt toward the daughter, but you must not appease her. With love and respect toward the spirit of this daughter, you must win this battle. This daughter will not show respect by her parent giving in to her defiance. Parenting is not fun at such moments, but Hebrews 12 teaches us that discipline for the moment is sorrowful, not joyful. However, experiencing sorrow is not always a bad thing. You are not here to make your child happy, but to help your child mature.
And let me say that if she's been, as I always say, you know, somebody's going to be in charge. Either you're going to go get the four for your daughter, or she's going to go get it. There's no stalemate here. There's no neutral ground. And unfortunately, the appeasers have put their children in a position where they're in charge. And some of these kids are hellions, and you're going to have a battle on your hand when you draw the line in the sand. And this is against your nature, particularly if you're a peacemaker. I get it. This is tough. And they're going to guilt trip you. They're going to fight you. They're going to resist you. But what you got to do is stand firm. This is why often those who are parenting experts make the simple point, parenting takes courage. You've got to have the courage, but you don't have to become hostile or contemptuous. The two of you together, hopefully you'll have support in this. If you're single mother, single parent, this is tough, but you've got to stand firm on this, and they're going to resist until they come to that realization that you're not going to buckle. But as that point is, if after 20 minutes of complaining you give in, you've taught your child to complain for 20 minutes. And if you go in this instance for a certain amount of time and then you give in, you've just sent the message. That's how long they have to argue with you.
What about, keep going, we keep going?
Yeah.
What about the parent who actively spoils the child with the hope the child will like them? I knew of one mother who always came home from work with a gift for her daughter. And whenever they went out, she bought her what she wanted. This mother gave to be liked and to keep her daughter happy. But bribery only guarantees a manipulated and spoiled child. It never produces genuine love, friendship, or happiness. Ecclesiastes 7:7 puts it plainly, a bribe corrupts the heart.
Well, a bribe corrupts the heart. And we see that in the broader context of business and politics. But I have to tell you, why would that principle apply there and not in our own family? We need to understand that you think you're giving into your child to make them happy and to, you know, let them know how much you love them. When they're filtering it, in maybe many instances, this is bribery. They see through it. They know what you're doing. You want peace at any price, and they're not going to respect you. I wish I could say they would. Doesn't mean, again, that you don't be gracious and do special things. Again, there's a balance here, but we're talking about the chronic appeasement. You always give in. They know you're going to give in, and you're going to usually give in by giving them what they want, and that's called bribery.
Granted, it is sometimes very tempting to say yes, just to have some peace. Kids are adept at crying long and yelling loud to get what they want. A 15-year-old daughter confessed to her new stepmother her tactic in getting from her father what she wanted. Through the years, all I needed to do was cry long enough and yell loud enough, and Dad would give me what I wanted. He feared conflict with me, so he gave in. And I knew that he'd give in, so I kept at him. But I was wrong for doing that. She knew she did not respect her father's desires or him. If only this father had stayed firm, lovingly and respectfully, saying no to his daughter. But a peacemaking parent finds this tough, so gives in. This is why parenting takes courage.
And you need to just kind of get lighthearted. Hey, nice try, daughter. Nice try. But the answer is no. Nice try. I see the loud screaming. I see this persistency. Nice try. Man, you got perseverance. You're going to succeed in life. The answer is still no. And some of you are funny, and you need not to be funny in sarcastic ways toward your children, but you've lost your lightheartedness, and you see the tactic. Just stay light with this. They're going to engage you. Don't get enmeshed with it. Just, you know, nice try. Nice try.
Well, sometimes in my field, there's a phrase that's been used called rolling with the resistance, right? It's there. It's continuing, but you just kind of roll with it, right? I mean, you just sit with it, right? And you don't give into it, you don't back off, you know, from it, but you're patient with it, right? And you know, they see the message in the end. Not that a therapeutic principle necessarily applies perfectly here, but I like that phrase, right? This idea of my child is resisting me right now. How do I roll with it? Whether it's humor, right? Whether it's firmness, right? Whether it's talk, whether it's silence, right? I'm going to wait this out, or I'm going to outlast them.
Exactly. We are going to win. And it's not for the purpose of trying to be the victor. It simply says they've got to become self-disciplined. They don't have the self-discipline. discipline. In order for that to happen, I've got to discipline them. But I got to be disciplined in winning here. We have a friend who's a professional counselor who said in some situations like this, she simply wouldn't say anything. She would let them sit on their own words for a while and then revisit it during the non-emotional moment. Mm-hmm. What about chronic apathy with truancy?
Chronic apathy with truancy does not display love and respect toward the spirit of the child and thus does not result in being honored, not from the heart of the child. Indifference is unloving. We must care enough to confront and correct. For example, one dad wrote this note to his 10-year-old. The way you've been talking to your mother is unacceptable. She is my wife, and I love her. I love you too. In fact, I care so much for you that this hurtful behavior needs to stop because it is hurting everyone. As a consequence, on Saturday, you will cut the grass and rake the leaves, and after that, you will help me clean the garage. Love, Dad. This dad awakened to the necessity of confronting rudeness, and it has worked.
Mm-hmm. And that's not easy. And there, I have the story of the father who said he just disengaged, but he realized, the mother was telling the boy to do the piano, practice his piano lessons. And the dad said, I just used to stay disengaged. And I realized that I was this apathetic kind of individual who was not coming forth and I needed to step up and get involved in this. But the problem with that is it's going to create a mess, particularly if we're respected at work as the male and everybody responds to us. Our kids could care less if we're a brain surgeon. And this becomes the problem because in the home, they're going to treat us like a dad, not like a brain surgeon. And so it's easier to protect our own self, interest by being apathetic. But that's simply irresponsibility. And long term, and this has been pointed out, if you don't spend time with them now, you're going to spend time with them visiting them in prison. That's an overstatement, but I love that metaphorical way of expressing it.
The blended family is tough. Standing alone to do the right thing when the other spouse and their children show us disrespect would cause most of us to declare, forget it. I'm not going to subject myself to this kind of rejection and disrespect. But at the deepest level, God calls us to be a loving and respectful person concerning what is right and true. To withdraw in silence is to sanction what is wrong. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of person you are? You may not prove persuasive, but you can go on record in giving voice to what is right and true. Turning on Netflix, going golfing or shopping, or whatever you do to cope with the disrespect is understandable. But if this proves to be chronic apathy with truancy, then it isn't good and right. Stay engaged. In all of this, we need to remind ourselves that our children are little people with a little spirit. If we have been wrongly angry, appeasing, or apathetic, we need to seek forgiveness. We do not want them to close off their spirits. Let me share one touching story, and this is from a father who probably was not doing anything chronically wrong. He wrote, when my son was about 4, he wanted to help me dish the ice cream for dessert. I wasn't enthusiastic because the ice cream was hard, but I stood him on a stool at the kitchen counter, opened the carton, and handed him the scoop. He pushed but couldn't get it very deep, and trying to move the scoop down and across, a partial scoop of ice cream went flying across the room and landed on the floor. I impatiently took the scoop from his hand, made some, I knew this would happen, comment, and proceeded to do it myself. Without a word, he got down off the stool and walked into the living room, acting as if he didn't care. What did this dad then do? But the Lord helped me realize that I should have let him hold the scoop and put my hand over his and helped him. I went to him immediately and apologized, explaining that I'd been wrong. He burst into tears, threw his arms around my neck, and forgave me.
Wow. That last line. He burst into tears, threw his arms around my neck, and forgave me. This, when I heard the story, just reminded me, these are little people, and they have a little heart, they have a little spirit. And this boy acted indifferent to the father's, this is a typical reaction on the part of all of us. I mean, this isn't even a chronic problem with a dad, it's a good guy. But even here, you can see how delicate this four-year-old, and I am concluding with this today, because if we're into chronic anger, chronic appeasement, chronic apathy, to try to send a message, these are little people with little hearts. And we can cross the line. But what I found so encouraging here is he went and sought the son's forgiveness. But lo and behold, look at the depth of emotion in response to this humbling and seeking of forgiveness over what would be just a little small thing that some of us may not even pay attention to. But I just see the human spirit and how sensitive and delicate it is. And every one of us listening as adults can remember that we had these feelings when we were little. This is what is so interesting about this. We all have our recollections. We remember. we were once little children. We may be big stuff now, but it, you know, as you came into the world, you'll leave the world. And I was just at a retirement center with a guy that's 101, and all the people there are kind of in wheelchairs being taken about in the same way they were when they were infants. We begin as very vulnerable, fragile people. We're going to end there. But we mustn't forget that, and we mustn't forget what we felt like when we were 4, 5, and 6 and our vulnerability, so that that can solicit an empathy. Because if you're using chronic anger, if you're trying to appease to buy them off, if you're just saying, I don't care about you because you don't care about me, you're going to lose their hearts. And is that really what you want to do? I know that what we're saying is not inviting to deal with these situations in loving, respectful ways to avoid that hostility and contempt toward the soul of the person. But it's simply right. And it's simple and it's right. This isn't complicated. It just takes personal discipline to do what we know is right and not let the stress and the inconvenience of the moment cause us to try to parent in our spare time. Ain't going to work. So, Jonathan, as we conclude, are there any questions that you have about any of this?
I don't think I have any specific, you know, questions, but I do think, you know, we have a few questions here to leave the listeners with that might be useful, and I can read them and then you can close us if that's appropriate.
Love to.
Question number one to consider. In your child's most defiant moments, what makes it so difficult for you to still try and display love and respect toward his or her spirit? What are the easier responses in these moments? Question two. In describing the father who used chronic anger toward his kids, Emerson wrote, "This was less about controlling them and more about him controlling himself. This was less about disciplining them and more about him disciplining himself. What does this mean? Do you agree?" Number three, Hebrews 12:11 says, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." How does this relate to the parent struggling to discipline their child instead of giving in to appeasement with treats? Number four, and the final question. Indifference is in loving. We must care enough to confront and correct. When has showing indifference toward a rebellious child backfired for you? When has confronting them, as uncomfortable as it may have been, produced the desired, long-lasting results you were hoping for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's good. Well, let me just close in prayer. And for those of you who are in this struggle with the children, there is life after preschool. If you've got kids under, you know, 5 and you've got 4 of them there, I mean, there is life after preschool, as we say. I mean, this will end, and this is not permanent. It is not a perennial condition that God is somehow, who's a cosmic killjoy, has inflicted upon you. It will soon pass, trust me, and you'll end up doing podcasts with your 40-year-old son, who's a clinical psychologist, who did that because he has issues due to his own father's failures, and he had to process how to be healed. Mm-hmm. But let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray for that individual who's using chronic anger with threats, the person who's using chronic appeasement with treats, the one who's using chronic apathy with truancy. Lord, that they would be spoken to today, that we all get weary in doing good. We just get weary, and it isn't fun. We didn't sign up for this, and yet it is so worthy because the people who have the most joy, you see, who are in their later years at Thanksgiving times and Christmas with their children and grandchildren, and just the emotion that so many feel. And they're experiencing that because they did not rupture those relationships. They did not close off the hearts of their children. And even though there were seasons of tremendous difficulty, there is a basic love and respect toward each other. There is an interdependency. They are there for each other. And as the Apostle John said, there's no greater joy to know that your children are walking in the truth. And may all of us have that end in mind. May we see the long-term impact here. We're raising little people who are going to be husbands and wives, mommies and daddies. They're not just under our might, and might makes right. These are little people who one day are going to be big people and actually are going to be the ones who end up taking care of us. May we not lose sight of that. May we hold true to our convictions. May we not try to be the popular individual. It's not a popularity contest. But may we proceed with this game plan. And we leave these results in your hands. knowing that what we can control right this moment is my action and reaction. That I can control, that I will control. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Take care. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.